I'm here with Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, let's talk about what's going on in Idlib with Syria, Turkey, Russia. The last reports that I heard was that Turkey was moving in some tanks, some other military equipment towards Idlib. Alexander, are we looking at conflict, a war between Turkey and Syria in Idlib? And that would also mean Turkey and Russia, if that does occur. And we've also heard statements from the U.S. that they said they do support Turkey, which should come as no surprise.
Obviously not. I think that the possibility of an all-out clash between the Syrians and the Turks in Idlib province is a real one. But I think most probably it's not going to happen. And I think there are a number of reasons for this. Firstly, I think that Erdogan probably does understand that if he takes on the Syrian military, backed by the Russians, backed by the Iranians, he will have a major fight on his hands. And I think he understands that that would be an extremely dangerous situation, both for Turkey and for him. And the second is that I think the Syrian military operation, which has been causing all this huge angst and anger in Turkey and elsewhere, I think that at its present point, it is now at an end. I think it's reached its major objective, which was to clear the two big roads that links central Syria with Syria's important northern industrial city, which is Aleppo. These are the M4 and M5 motorways. The Turks, way back in 2018, committed themselves to having those roads to Aleppo reopened for civilian traffic. It never happened. And I think what happened was that the Russians and the Syrians finally had enough and decided that they would clear the roads themselves. And they have. They've now fully recaptured them. And they're apparently now securely under the Syrian government's control. So I don't think the Syrian government is going to actually move on and send its army to capture or recapture Idlib city, which is, I think, for the moment, something of a red line for Erdogan. The other thing I have to say is that I've been getting some information from the Middle East. There was a very, very interesting article in Al Monitor, which is a Middle East newspaper, which says, American-based, I should say, Middle East newspaper, which said that for the Turks, for Erdogan, the real concern is not Idlib province, which apparently he realizes at some point he's going to have to return to the Syrian government. It's Afrin, which is this former Kurdish area that he controls somewhat further to the east. And this corridor that he's established through in eastern Turkey, in what was formerly the Kurdish-controlled areas. And apparently what he wants, or what he imagines, is that he, if he holds on to Idlib, or at least if he's proxies, the various jihadi groups that control it, some of which, by the way, are essentially Al-Qaeda. I mean, you know, the dominant group there is Al-Qaeda, but we'll put that to one side. Well, Erdogan's ultimate plan is that he wants to swap Idlib for essentially permanent control of these two other regions, Afrin and some areas further east in what were formerly Kurdish-controlled territories, and that he's afraid that if Idlib is completely reconquered by the Syrian army, then he will lose his leverage in those future negotiations. I have to say, if that is indeed what Erdogan is thinking, then I think he's delusional, because neither the Russians nor the Syrians will ever agree to such to that kind of land swap. I think that's an absolute and complete fantasy. But that was one thing that I did see. It would be consistent with Erdogan's thinking. And I think if the Syrian military operation in its present stage has reached its, you know, has achieved its immediate purposes and is now and now stands down. I think that in light of this idea of a swap that's been apparently mooted, I think it could be that Erdogan will not feel any desire to press forward and move for a clash. The other thing I would say is that a couple of days ago, on the 12th of February, Erdogan gave everybody the impression that he was going to make some tremendous demand of the Syrians and that he was going to basically present them with an ultimatum. And we were all looking forward and expecting and waiting to see what he would say. And what he actually said was actually very far from being any sort of ultimatum. And in fact, he sent a delegation of top Turkish military leaders to Moscow to have negotiations there. So it seems to me that I think Erdogan is too intelligent to realize, to get himself into a battle with the Syrians and the Russians and the Iranians in Idlib, which could very easily go catastrophically wrong for him. So I don't think he wants to do that. I think he's still hoping to negotiate deals with the Syrians and with the Russians. And I think that's probably his intention. But there's lots of risks that things could go wrong.
Yeah, it does kind of make sense because for Erdogan, it's always been about the Kurds.
Yes.
It's always been about the Kurds. So that theory,
I think,
kind of it adds up. Are the Kurds back with have they found common ground with the Assad government?
Well, I think they are still trying to play the Americans and the Assad government off against each other. A reckless and foolish strategy, by the way. But there are still, it turns out, American troops in some of the Kurdish areas. So they've not fully committed to the Assad government. And perhaps until the moment of necessity comes, they never will. But I agree. I think for Erdogan, that is the priority. And can I stress, Al Monitor, where I read it, is a very well-regarded news portal. And it is based in the United States. And many of the people who write for it are basically well-known academics in the United States, who know the Middle East very well and have good sources in the Middle East, and who are not by any means, you know, crazy theorists or fantasists. They are, you know, this is a very respectable, almost mainstream, well, essentially mainstream publication.
Right. So, from a U.S. Strategic vantage point, would it be fair to say that for them, they want to keep the Kurds out of forming any type of alliance, any type of integration back with the Assad government, because they keep the tension between Turkey and Russia and Syria, they keep it hot. And if the Kurds do reach some sort of agreement with the Assad government and reintegrate, it kind of, you know, takes Erdogan's plan to hold Idlib and Afrin kind of off the table at that point, because, you know, once again, you have the Assad government is made whole again, and the Kurdish issue is off the table. So for Erdogan, he doesn't have, you know, anything to negotiate at that point. It's all Syria again.
Exactly.
This Kurdish enclave. So for the U.S., it kind of seems to me that it's to their benefit to keep the Kurds, you know, playing off the Turks.
Yes.
And playing off Syria and the Turks.
It is. It absolutely is. I mean, what the US wants to do is it wants to, first of all, keep the Assad government from regaining control of all the Syrian territory. I mean, that is its first objective. It still hasn't given up on its long-term project of regime change in Syria. At least when I say the US government, I mean, I don't think this is true of Donald Trump, but of some people within the State Department and the CIA and the Defense Department, that is still their objective. And the other thing they want to do is they want to create trouble between Syria and Turkey and between Turkey and Russia. And they're leveraging, to the extent that they can, the Kurds in order to do that. I don't think it's going to work in the end, but I think that it could create a lot of trouble in the meantime. I think in the end, Erdogan does not want to jeopardize his relations with the Russians. I think he realizes that the game in Syria is almost lost. And I think he does want to hold on to Afrin, and he does want to hold on to these Kurdish areas. But at the end of the day, if he's forced to leave, I think he will go. I don't think he will risk a war, not with Russia. But in the meantime, there is plenty of scope for the United States to create trouble between the Russians and Turkey. And the Russian ambassador in Turkey has said that he is now regularly receiving death threats from various people in Turkey of strong Islamist views who basically are furious with what's happened in Idlib, and who are putting pressure on Erdogan, obviously, to intervene in Idlib on behalf of their co-religionists.
Yeah, makes sense. Idlib and Afrin and the Kurds, you know, that's a wedge for the US, and they're going to exploit that.
They're going to make the most of it, absolutely. I predict in the end it will fail, but it could create some very dangerous situations along the way.
Yeah. I agree. And they understand Erdogan, I think, and they understand that Erdogan's ambitious and a little bit out of control, a lot out of control, actually. Yeah. And so they're going to use that to their advantage as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Erdogan is a very difficult person to work with. Everybody who has had to work with Erdogan has discovered what a difficult individual he is to work with. The Russians know him. The Americans know him. The Americans and the Russians each have used him in their own ways at various times. But at the same time, because Erdogan is such a difficult character, he is never somebody who can be used reliably. So neither the Russians nor the Americans can ever wholly trust him.
All right. Alexander Berkuris, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell. Smash that like button as well. And donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really means a lot to this channel. And also go to The Durant Shop and pick up some merchandise like the polo that Alexander is wearing today with the gold eagle.
With a gold Durant eagle.
Embroidered.
I mean, black and gold, how more stylish can you get than that? I mean, it's an incredible color combination on an amazing Durant polo shirt. These are, I've worn polo shirts like this to all sorts of amazing places and occasions. And I'm going to do so again tonight because I'm in Berlin. For those who are curious to know where I am, you can tell that it's a hotel room. I'll certainly be going out this evening to one of the very celebrated restaurants that there are in Berlin. Berlin has a remarkable scene, if I may say, and it's a very, very interesting city for all sorts of reasons. And it's absolutely the place where you want to look your best, which is what I am doing now when I wear a shirt like this. And of course, it's not the only shirt or type of shirt we have. We have other polo shirts, all of the same amazing quality, all with a Durant double-headed eagle, all 100% cotton, all incredibly stylish and elegant, all of them in, you know, various different colors. There's black and gray and blue, but all of them look phenomenal and fantastic. And we don't just have, of course, polo shirts. We also have really handsome T-shirts. These are not just any T-shirts. They are really elegant Durant T-shirts, 100% cotton, also with a double-headed eagle. Some of them long-sleeved, some of them short-sleeved. We also have V-neck shirts. And, of course, we also have a similar superb quality. We have hats and hoodies and stickers as well. We also, of course, have in our shop our famous Durant magic mugs. Because I'm in Berlin and I get very absent-minded, I decided better safe than sorry, so I decided not to bring one with me here and perhaps leave it behind to the no doubt joy of the people who clean the hotel rooms. So I'm afraid I've left those all in London, which is a pity because I miss them terribly. In the long watches of the night, they keep me well and refreshed. So you can buy all these great things in our shop. You can buy also our ebooks, where we cover all the various topics that we discuss here. You can find all these things in our shop. You support the Gibran by going to our shop, and because we need all the support we can get if we're going to continue to provide you with the analysis and commentary that we do so regularly. And so don't hold back. Come to our shop. Buy these great things. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to theduranshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurs, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.